The day is not over. Right? God is still in the miracle working business. And we thank Him for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to attempt to cover this whole chapter. I titled this, A Glimpse into the End Times. A Glimpse into the End Times. It says, Now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or word or letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is God or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. For we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God the Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, word and work. Let me end by saying this. When we talk about the end times, according to the Word of God, He says, may your hearts be consoled and good hope of grace comfort your hearts. The preaching of the end times should bring comfort to Christians and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. Father God, we just come before you today and we're so thankful for the presence of your Spirit in this service. God, I knew that there were some needs in this service. I knew there was people believing you for miracles, but God, I had no idea that it was that many folks in this congregation that need to see the miracle working power of God. I am so thankful that I know you as the miracle working power. God, you really are El Shaddai. You are the one who brings strength to us, who gives us strength. God, we find our nourishment from you. Jesus said that he was the bread of life. He sustains us. He's the light of the world. He lights our path. He illuminates our minds to understand him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, I thank you, God. You are good. He's the gate. He's the door by which all the goodness of the Father will come to us. God, we just lift up the person of Christ. We exalt you above all others. God, I know sometimes that our lives show that we're not exalting you, that we're trying to find every other resource in life other than you. God, you told us don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. We were told to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. God, right now I just lead this congregation in a prayer of repentance. God, we repent and we humble ourselves before you. You are a good God. Your hand brings goodness to us. We repent, God, that we have searched out, we've exhausted ourselves trying to solve our own problems. And God, we repent of that. God, right now, we declare with our own lips, you are our hope. You're our only hope. God, we look to you. I pray right now, like Nehemiah said, and the good hand of God was with me. God, I pray that the good hand of God would reach down right now and would touch these people and bring the miracles that they so desire, bring the miracles that they are believing for. We will exalt you. We will praise you. We will let others know the goodness of our Father. God, let us hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today, but let us receive from the good hand of the Father today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't come in with a heavy heart, but I have felt yours today in this service. So I wanted to start off and talk about this chapter and 2 Thessalonians, written to the same people that 1 Thessalonians was written to. But in 2 Thessalonians, he is correcting some theology, some eschatology, you would say. Eschatology is a study of the end times. And so they were off on their doctrine. And many of us don't think that's a big deal. But it is a big deal. You see, if your doctrine is wrong, you act on your doctrine. You may not know that. You may not quite comprehend, but we act on what we believe. You come down and you plop down in that chair today and never gave it a second thought. You know why? Because you believed that chair was going to hold you up. So therefore, you just didn't give it a thought. You just sat down. Many of you came into service today expecting to receive from God. That's your expectation, and that was a good expectation. But when you believe in error, your actions that follow will be wrong also. So in chapter 2, he corrects the error of their doctrine. In chapter 3, we'll study next week, he corrects their actions that follow this doctrine. It matters what you believe. And he talked about deception. He talked about being deceived. I've heard it said before and I've said it. The only thing bad about deception is it's very deceiving. Right? You don't know it. You don't know when you're being sold something that's not good. You think you're buying a good product only to get it home and to find out it's not everything they told you it was. Right? All of a sudden you've got a lemon and don't know what to do with it. And if you got Christian morals at all, you can't pass it on to someone else, right? Because someone deceived you. I know there are people that think, well, I'm not going to be deceived. You better be careful. Can I just say it this way? Satan slipped into the garden, into a perfect environment in which there was no sin. He slips into a garden that Jesus came down every day, or God came down every day, and talked to Adam and Eve. And just with a little bit of a twist on what God had told them, he made her believe that God was withholding from him and not giving good. It's the same lie that's being perpetuated today in society, that God is not really that good because He withholds from us. I've got news for you. God is good. There is no shadow of turning in Him. He's great. The reason that God says I cannot change is because He can't get any better. He's perfect. It worries me just a bit when I think that Eve was deceived in the garden, possibly hours after she had spent time with God Himself. You better be careful. The Bible says the time in the end had to be shortened because the very elect, that's us, was going to be deceived. Guys, the only way that we will not be deceived is if you get in this book and you study this thing like you're going to have a test on it in the morning. And then you ask the Spirit of God, because this is a spiritual book and a carnal mind cannot receive spiritual life. So you got to ask the Spirit of God, God, you've got to reveal that stuff to me. I need to know, God. I need to know. Paul had established this church, but somebody else wrote a letter, sent it into the church, and messed up their doctrine, messed up their theology. They believed that the coming of the Lord had already happened. And Paul is saying, it has not happened. And I want to prove that to you. There's three things that's got to happen before the second coming of Christ. The very first thing he said, he says, there's going to be a falling away. The word is apostasy. It's amazing to me that there are people in the body of Christ that do not believe you can lose your salvation, when the Word of God said in the last days, people are going to desert. In the Bible, we have stories of people that deserted their faith. Remember Paul? He said, hey, you watch these two guys because they have turned and they've gone the other way. What's that all about? We're having it today in society where people are denouncing their faith. They're saying, I used to believe in Jesus. I used to claim this, but I don't believe that any longer. What is that? It's apostasy. Don't believe the lie. I don't care who perpetuates it. Good people perpetuate that you cannot lose your salvation. But I've come to tell you today, it's just not scriptural. Say, but God would never leave us. You are right. You're absolutely correct. It's not God who does the leaving. It's man. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says, now the Spirit expressly says in the later times that some will depart from the faith. You cannot depart from something that you've never had. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now here's my dilemma. I don't know at what point this apostasy happens. I don't know if it's before the rapture of the church or after the rapture of the church. I would dare say it's on both sides. And some of you say, how can people leave their faith if they've been raptured? Not everybody's going to be raptured. Not taught much, is it? There's a parable in the New Testament about 10 virgins. Understand virgin. Someone who had not defiled themselves. Someone who has kept themselves pure. But the Bible says that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, and they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. When the trumpet sounded, the 5 that had extra oil lit their lamp and was ready to proceed with the light. And the 5 that were foolish said, give us of your oil. Give us of your anointing. Give us of the Spirit of God that's in you. so that we can go too. And it says, it doesn't work that way. You got to go purchase yourself. You got to go get it yourself. And we find out through that thing, five went and five were left. The rapture of the church is going to happen for those who are ready. You see, the rapture of the church is almost like the judgment of God. He's saying, I'm making a judgment. Those of you that are ready to join me, come on up. And those that have been looking for Christ, those who have got their clothes are white, those who are ready to meet Jesus, in a minute, in a second, they're going to rise up and go to be with the Lord in the air. But there are going to be many, many people that talked religion. Remember the scripture that says, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do this? Did we not? Were we not there? Were we not in church on Sunday? And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Oh my. To me, it's one of the scariest scriptures in the Bible. You talk about deception. How could we be so deceived to believe that we're ready and yet we're not? We better examine ourselves. He said there's going to be a falling away. I believe we're already seeing it. I believe there's such a casualness in the body of Christ today. There's many, many religious people on this earth. I don't believe the numbers they tell us. When they say how many Americans are born again, I don't believe it. I don't see it. I believe your life counts. I believe the way you live counts. I believe the fruit of your life. It's not for me to judge, but I can look at your fruit. But it's not up to me to look at your fruit. It's up to me to look at my fruit. What are you producing, preacher boy? But I would that you would look at your life. It's not something to be scared about, but it's something to go before him very seriously minded. And say, God, I pray right now that you shine the Holy Spirit. Let him shine on me and expose any darkness. Now, we're not perfect people. I know we're not perfect people. Now, I'm not preaching perfection. But I'm preaching, is he first in your life? Is he number one? Are you chasing everything else beside him? Because we all love to talk about the rapture of the church because it gets us out of Dodge. But I got a feeling that Dodge may get a little rough before we get to the rapture of the church. Can you handle it? Can you handle it? Can you trust him? Can you trust Jesus when things don't work out? We're going to have to. He said the second thing is the man of sin, the Antichrist, will be revealed. Makes that really clear. Before the second coming of God. Now remember, the rapture of the church, tribulation, 7 years of tribulation. At the end of that 7 years is the second coming of God when he comes back to finish the job. It's a judgment. In the middle of that 7 years, a man will walk into the temple of God, which will be rebuilt, and he will say, I am God. And the Bible says that you'll know it. Only today, I've heard this preached for 50 years, but only today could something happen in the Middle East and us know it in seconds. We will know it just like that. We won't, because we won't be here. But that man of lawlessness will be revealed before Jesus comes back. And at that point, things are going to get really bad, because that's when God will begin to pour out His wrath. Now remember, I told you one of the reasons that I fully and firmly believe that the rapture of the church will happen before tribulation. There are people that believe that Christians will go through the tribulation. I am not one of them. And I believe that the rapture will happen before the tribulation because God has not appointed His people to wrath. And the tribulation is the wrath of God. So I believe God is going to get us out of here. But I found a very conclusive second evidence that I'm excited to share to you with you today. And that's the third point here. He makes this really clear. He says, he that is restraining must be removed before that lawlessness can be revealed. And you got to think, who is the one that's restraining? It's often many people believed it's the Holy Spirit, but it's not. Because the Holy Spirit will still be on earth because people will be saved. So if it's not the Holy Spirit, some people believe it's government. Let me tell you, government will still be there. Who is the one that is restraining the lawlessness one? It's the church. I get excited about that. See, I think we underestimate what we do on earth. We are the ones that is holding back the evil from this earth. Now, is it us? It's the Holy Ghost in us, right? I'm telling you, the church is more powerful than you can imagine. Satan would have Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he would have his way if it wasn't for you. That's exciting to me. Because I think we underestimate who we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power be of God and not of us. I don't want you to leave this place and think, woo, we're really something special. I want you to leave this place and say, woo, we are powerful in God. We're mighty in God. If it wasn't for the church, Satan would have his way. You don't realize when you walk to work, when you walk in your office, when you walk in the doctors, you don't realize the power of God just got there. Hallelujah. Whew. Daniel said, he said, they that know their God will do exploits. They that know their, I am not talking about minimal Christianity. I'm talking about blood-bought, sold-out believers of Jesus Christ. We are powerful in God. We are the people of God. We are a peculiar people, chosen by God. You didn't choose him. He looked at you. That's why we say you are the elect, because God elected you. God chose you. I tell you, it's a powerful thing to think that we are the body of Christ on earth that is restraining what the devil wants to do. But when we get removed, Satan says, woo, I can go all the way now. Tribulation is going to be awful. It's going to be evil. And it would be that way today if it wasn't for the church. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're the people of God. We underestimate prayer. We pray. We say we believe in prayer. We don't really. We believe it's about 3% effective, so we'll give it a chance once in a while. I got news for you. Prayer is more powerful than any of us think. The Bible says that our prayers are stored up in heaven. God doesn't forget your prayers. God stores them up. You don't always get your way, do we? But prayer is powerful. Keep praying. We're the people of God. The Holy Spirit is within you. The Bible says that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Wherever you walk. Remember children of Israel? Remember what God told them? He said, wherever you walk, you'll conquer that land. You'll take dominion over it. I believe that when God gives a word, it never is returned. So I believe that when God told the people of God, wherever your foot trods, claim it. I believe that's still active today. I believe wherever we go, we're the people of God. That's our territory. We've been too quick to give the territory back to the devil. Let's quit talking about how awful the devil is, how powerful the devil is. Ooh, he's been chasing me all week. Well, why don't you stand up? Just stand up. The Bible says that Satan is not a roaring lion. It says he is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Is the devil powerful? Yes, he is. But guess what? Authority trumps power. We have been given authority, the authority of Jesus Christ. We've been given that authority, and it always trumps power. I don't care how strong a man is, you let somebody that has the authority come in, and he always will release and relinquish that authority to him. We're the people of God. We don't give up. When times get tough, we don't give up. We just keep pushing in. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we do not lose heart. Guess what? We come to perish to win the battle. Bless God, and we're not going to give up. Why are we doing a Christmas play? Because it's part of the battle plan. Right? It's part of letting this city know that there really was a little virgin girl that God spoke to and said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Woo! That's good news. There really is a Christ incarnate. God from heaven came down and became a baby. He died for your sins. That's good stuff. I'm going to tell you, most people in parish know the story. They just don't believe it. We don't give up. Number three, we know how to pray with the authority of God. John 15:7, I've already quoted it. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you wish. Ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Do you pray believing? When you come to God, do you expect to receive? If His word is in you, you don't pray your wish. You pray His word. Amen. Your word declares this, God, and I'm standing on it. If His word abides in you and you in Him, Jesus is in us. And that's wonderful. We're taught that when we go to little bitty classes. Jesus is coming to live in your heart. But what we're not taught is we are in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. He's in us, but we have joined a new family. The royalty of heaven. Number four is we're courageous. We don't always act courageous. We don't always talk courageous. But we are courageous in God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me. You may say, I'm just not that strong. Oh, my goodness, what a great statement. You just now become a candidate for what God wants to do. I'm not that smart. Bless God, get in line. Neither am I. But His strength is made perfect in my weakness. It's not about us. It's about Him. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Bless God, put your chin up. Lift your head up. And let's get ready to conquer. Because God has called us to conquer. I want you to realize you are the one that's restraining the devil. Let's just bring it back for just a second. Do you know you're the one restraining the devil in your home? You're the one restraining the devil in your family. You're the one that's restraining the devil in this city, in this county, in this state, in the United States of America, and in the world at large. It's the church of God. Man, you just ain't getting it the way I feel it. I don't know how to tell you any better. The fifth thing that I see about the church is we love God and we love people. It's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang all the words of the prophets. God never called us to be a judge. Never called us to stand in judgment of others. Called us to love people. When my mother was alive, my brother was a pastor. I was not. But my brother has went through a lot of difficulty pastoring churches. I honestly have to say I have not. I feel sometimes that we're in our seventh year of honeymoon in this church. It's a great church. And I thank God for that. My brother would call and say, Mom, things are falling apart. Man, people are coming against me. This is happening and that's happening. And I don't know what to do. Carl told me that her advice was always the same. Carl, love the people. If you got someone at work that you just can't get along with, they're ornery, truth is not in them, they're deceitful, what would I tell you? Love them. Love them. It's hard to go against love. Especially when you know you don't deserve it. When I was a teenager, I looked like one big pimple. I mean, my face was awful. I had a kid told me when I was a junior in high school, said, you look like your mom taught you to eat with a fork. I just had craters all over my face because it was just eat up with acne. When we first started dating, Treva bent down one time and she kissed me on my cheek. It was the worst part of my face that was eat up with that stuff. I'd always thought no girl is ever going to want to kiss me. I thought she must not be able to see very well. You know, isn't it funny? I mean, I can go back 40 years to that moment in my mind. To where I thought, I can't believe she just kissed my cheek. I didn't feel like I deserved love. But she gave it to me. The honoriest person that you work with, the honoriest person that you deal with, probably does not feel like they deserve love. They don't feel like they deserve kindness. Bob Tyler talked to the men of this church yesterday, and I thought he did a phenomenal job. He talked about kindness. Be kind. That's not real deep, but it's real impactful. You want to change your world? Start loving the unlovable. It's easy to say that we love God. Sometimes it's hard to say, I love you. Right? We all have those in our life. But God has given us the power and the ability to love the unlovable. And that's what makes the body of Christ so powerful. Number six is we hold fast to the Word of God. You know, you get yourself a good sinner and you tell them you believe that book's alive. Maybe I should just tell you guys, this book is alive, by the way. It's a living book. Most people look at you and say, you are stupid. Well, if I am, I'm stupid for Christ. Because I believe every word that He says. And I believe this book is still living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. It will still change things. And God still watches over His word to perform it. This word will still accomplish the purpose that God said that He sent it for. So I hold fast that word. I stand on it. I build my life. Carrie told me a couple days ago, he said, Eric, you don't know how blessed you are. He said, I know you think you know. He said, but I'm just telling you, you don't know how blessed you are. He said, for three of your sons, all three sons have done well, never given us problems, served Jesus Christ. He said, Eric, you're so blessed. I said, I know I am. He said, you should write a book. And I said, I would if I knew what we did. I just don't know what we did. I don't know that we did anything different than anybody else. I can only come back to one thing that we really did. This book was exalted in our home. We believe this book. We honor this book. And we hold fast what this book says. If this book goes contrary to your thoughts, don't try to change the book. Change your thoughts. Because you are wrong. It is not wrong. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Amen. Hold fast the confession, what you're saying. Yes. Hold fast that this book is coming out of your mouth. Hold fast. Don't back up from it. That's the body of Christ. Number seven, we are faithful unto death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. In Revelation 2, 10, it says, they were faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen. The ones that are going to go in the rapture are those that are faithful. The hit and miss Christians are not going to go. You're going to have to go through the tribulation. And God will save some. But you will probably at that point give your life for Him. Become a martyr. I have a hard time believing if people can't live for God now that they'd be able to live in the tribulation. But we know there will be some. There will be those that are faithful to God. Number eight, we gracefully bear suffering. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17, it says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, now think about who's writing this. Paul is writing this. Our light affliction is but for a moment, and it's working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We bear suffering successfully. God did not come to eliminate your suffering. He came so that you could go through suffering with grace. Yes. He will carry you through. His grace is sufficient for you. You've not done anything wrong if you're going through a trial in life. Most likely, you've been doing things right. And Satan says, I was talking to Brother Thomas. He was in the emergency room and I was talking to Brother Thomas. I thought his words were just funny. He said, you know, it was God that got Job into trouble. He said, Satan never talked about Job. It was God bragging on him. He said, have you considered my servant Job? It wasn't that Job did things wrong. It was that Job was doing things right. I'm sorry, I'm going to lose my voice. And some of you say, the world looks at you harder, more carefully, when you're going through difficulty. If you're always on the mountain, they'll tell you anybody could live for God on the mountain. But when you go through difficulty, the world gets their binoculars out and they'll put your life under a microscope and they'll say, what makes you different? And I can tell them, Jesus Christ. He never promised me that everything would be right. He said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. My goodness, I could be shouting. You just don't know how much I'm containing myself today. Number nine, we don't shrink back because of evil. There's evil. Evil is abounding today. And the church of the living God is not to shrink back because it's getting darker. Matter of fact, the darker it gets, the more your little light shines. We're not to shrink back. We are to move forward. Romans chapter 12 says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by doing good. Speak good. Do good. I don't want people to think I'm a do-gooder. Well, what is wrong with your head? Christians are do-gooders. Christians are the ones that start most hospitals. We started most colleges. Churches are the first to arrive on the scene of disaster, not the last. If you think Red Cross is there first, you're wrong. It's always the church. Why? Because we are filled with the compassion of God. We come to help. Don't shrink back because it's getting evil out there. You keep moving forward in the power of God. And the last thing, we're not held back by fear. Paul told Timothy, he said, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. I think he could have said it like this, Timothy, son, that fear that you're walking in, that ain't a God. That's the way I'd say it to you. If there's anything that's holding you back because you're scared, I have anxiety on this, I've been fretful, well, denounce that in Jesus' name. Because that's not the spirit God's gave you. God gave you the spirit of love, a power. And listen to this, because I have said this to myself many times, the spirit of a sound mind. You look yourself in the mirror and you say, listen, big boy, you've got a sound mind in the name of Jesus. That's the spirit that he has given us. So we're not going to be held back. We're going to move forward. He talks about in the end of this chapter, when Jesus comes back, it's going to be a quick scene, guys. The second coming of Christ, when he comes back. Now the rapture, he meets us in the clouds. The second coming, he comes and he lands on the Mount of Olives. It splits in two, the Mount of Olives, when the foot of Jesus hits it, according to Zechariah. And at the Battle of Armageddon, many of you know that, it's just a field in Israel where people are going to meet together, led by the Antichrist, led by the lawlessness one. And they're going to think and attempt to fight God. And it's going to be over in a flash. But it said, I mean, you would think, who would do that? Who would be so stupid that they would meet in a field with the Antichrist to fight God. But the Bible says that God will send a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. There's a lot of delusion today. Second coming of the Lord is going to happen like that. The word of God is going to come out of Jesus' mouth, and that army is going to be destroyed in a second. It's done. That's the way it happens. It's the way the book says it happens. That's the way it's going to happen. But let's talk for just a second. I know I'm just running a little bit late. Give me a grace. Let's talk about that strong delusion. That's got to be a strong delusion that people would want to fight against God.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to say to you. That delusion is not present at this point, but people are delusional. There is a spirit on earth that is deceiving people. If you look at a bottle of pills or a bottle of alcohol and you think life is going to get better if I take this, you're under a delusion. If you think jumping out of your marriage bed into someone else's bed is going to make you happy, you are under a delusion. If you think that I can slip a few dollars out away from work, they'll never miss it, you are under a delusion. Satan always paints this picture. And he makes it look like, oh, this is going to be great. And he doesn't show you behind the curtain. Remember the Wizard of Oz? The little scrawny guy that had the big voice. The Bible says that in the last days, on the day of judgment, that people will look at Satan and say, you're the one? You're the one that caused me all these problems? Yeah, because you believed a lie. Believe a lie and be damned. I've come to tell you the truth. Not the truth as I know it. Not the truth of the assemblies of God. I've come to tell you the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the truth. There is a delusion that's happening in America and the world today. And I just want to say, get your head out of the cloud and look up, because your redemption draws nigh. You better listen to the Word of God. Jesus Christ wants good for you, not evil. He convinced Eve that God was trying to withhold from her. Well, that's all over Hollywood. Don't go the church route. You're going to miss all the fun. Oh, the fun of adultery? The fun of getting drunk? The fun of drug addiction? The fun of sickness and death? Confusion? Is that the fun you're talking about? Sign me up. I wish to miss that. Believe a lie and be damned. Believe the truth and be saved. God's way is the right way. Serve Him with all your heart. Listen, I am not saying do your religious thing. Scripture says in the book of Hebrews, he goes on, he says, in our scripture, he says, we're sanctified by the Spirit. Hebrews 10 says, let us draw near with a true heart. Come on, let us draw near with a true heart. Too many Christians are living on the peripheral. It's time we get away from the outside and start moving in. Let's draw near to God. Let us have our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience. He said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Let us consider one another and others to stir up love and good works. Do you realize that's what I'm trying to do today? I'm trying to stir you up. And the fourth thing is, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. as in the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I've got news for you. The day is approaching. There was a time in America just 20 years ago when the average Christian went to church between 4 and 8 times a month. Now the average Christian in America goes to church 1.8 times a month. Does that sound like we're fulfilling Scripture? Or does it sound like we believed a lie from the devil that church doesn't really matter? Church is not going to get you saved. It doesn't buy you a ticket into heaven. But I'm going to tell you, it does draw us near, and there's something about the presence of God together. There's value in the house of God. There's value in the house of God. Folks, we've got to deal with this unfaithfulness. I am watching people I love slip out. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't think I lose sleep over you, you're wrong. I feel an accountability to you. You can't preach this without making people feel guilty. I don't want to make you feel guilty. But I pray the conviction of the Holy Ghost is upon you. Because I just know people that attend church regularly do better. They do better. I know there are times when you can't make it. I understand that. But I also understand when you get in the habit of not attending church, it's easy to skip it altogether. When you get out of the habit of reading your Bible, you're going to find it's difficult to get back into it. When you get out of the habit of praying, you're going to find it difficult to get back in. What do you do when your love diminishes? You do the first works again. You're having marriage problems? Do the first works again. Start dating your wife. That's what got you to the wedding. So what happens when I find that my heart has been drawn away from Christ? I do the first works again. I come back and I repent and I say, God, draw me close. The church is mighty. It's powerful. And if Satan can slip you out, do you realize you disconnected? You disconnected from the one thing that he said is withholding the hand of Satan. It's not time to disconnect. It's time to connect. Stand with me if you would. I'm not preaching condemnation, I promise you. You're not under my judgment, but you are under my concern. I get worried. I worked at Venture back in the early 90s. Most of you don't even know what Venture was, but it was a company that Lazarus owned, and they spun us off and we become our own store, and very similar to Target. And we were in a management meeting, and they said, we had to go through around this table and say, what does others say about you? And when they got to me, I remember my boss said, everybody says I'm so nice. And I laughed out loud. Almost got me fired that day. I thought, I've never said that about you. But when they got to me, they said, what do people say about you, Eric? And I said, I have no idea. Girl that I worked with, she started laughing. And she said, are you serious? I said, yeah. I said, I have no idea what people say about me. She said, we call you the old mother hen. She said, you try to take care of everybody. That's my nature. You see, God put a nature in me to be a shepherd. Many years before I felt the calling to pastor, I was trying to shepherd everybody. People I worked with in the world. My senior citizen center. I shepherd those people. I'm now I'm your shepherd. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. So I would say I'm an under shepherd. I don't always call you when you're gone. But I want you to know, I know who's here. Tomorrow I'll come to work and I'll write every person's name down that wasn't in church. I track it. Because it breaks my heart. I don't want to see people slip out on the most powerful thing that's on the earth. That's the church. I know Hollywood laughs at us. They try to diminish what church is all about. People think they don't need it. You need it more than you know. If you have a hard time being in church, I think you're going to have a hard time in heaven. Got to get you there. I trust him. Church is important. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, especially when we see the day approaching. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I fully expect Jesus to come back. When we sing "I'll Fly Away," I can't help but sing that chorus. The way Brother Jerry taught us, Jeff. I don't think I'll have to die. One of these days I'm going to fly. I don't believe I'm going to see death. I believe I will see the rapture of the church. I believe it's that close. Say, Pastor, you believe it could happen tomorrow? I do. I do. I really do. Say, is that because the evilness is getting so bad? No, not really. There's always been evil. I just think my spirit is crying out. We started a prayer meeting last night. We were praying. My brother said, "Maranatha." I thought, yes, Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Maranatha. I am waiting for the coming of the Lord. Remember the old high priest in the temple when they brought Jesus to see him? He said, now I can go because I've been waiting to see the Messiah. And I just laid my eyes on this child. I got news for you. I'm waiting to see the coming of the King in the clouds of glory. And I believe it's going to happen. And if that troubles you, you need to get your heart right today. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your head? And with an uplifted hand, would you say, Pastor, you scared me. This whole sermon just scares me. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Amen. I see those hands. I see those hands. Draw near to God. Don't you feel the wooing of the Spirit of God right now? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, He is calling you today. He's calling your name. All you say is, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask you to come in my heart and forgive me of my sins. And I declare today that I will follow you all the days of my life. I will dwell with you. I will tabernacle with you, God. It's such a simple prayer. And then your journey begins. Father God, I pray right now for the hands of those honest people that said, this sermon scares me. I don't even like to think of the coming of Jesus because I'm afraid I might not be one of the five wise virgins. I may be of the later. I may be one of the foolish ones that gets left. Well, the choice is yours. Prepare your lamp today. Get the oil of the Holy Ghost today. Draw near to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Now it's your turn to pray. Tell the Lord you need Him. Tell the Lord you've been on the peripheral. You've been standing on the outside, but you need in the game. I sat on the bench too long, God. I want in the game. Accept me. Draw near to God. Come on, lift your voice. Draw near to God. God, we need you. We need you. I need a stirring of the Spirit of God in every person under the sound of my voice. Stir their hearts, oh God. Lord, break their heart for what breaks yours, God. Jesus, we worship you and we honor you. We endeavor to serve you. And I'm so thankful that your word of God tells us the things that are going to happen. God, help us not to be deceived, but help us to walk in the wisdom of God. Help us to hold fast the confession of our faith. Help us to keep pushing on. And God, I thank you for the revelation knowledge of how powerful the church of God is. And thank you that I'm part of the body of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, come in the service.